1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We were talking to our guy C-Dot during the break about the Instablade tournament. Reminder, if you want to join our bracket challenge here on Cody and Gold, if you weren't in it last year, send us a text, 913-586-7965. Drew will shoot you over a link to join.
Some people aren't getting the link, I don't think, for whatever reason. I've texted it multiple times. If you're having trouble, when you go to the CBS Bracket Challenge, and you can search for a group or a pool, search Cody and Gold. And
that works as well. Hopefully. You were in the pool last year. All you have to do is log back in and you can just enter your pick. A lot of you have already done that, so you caught on to that. So you do not have to rejoin. But if you're a new listener or you just didn't join last year for whatever reason, text in, try that, or text in and Andrew will try to send a link to you and see if that works out. We'll have some more details on some prizing. Last year we had some free wings for a year. We'll work on some prizes. Don't worry, we'll have something together for the winner as well. I know we talked about KU and KU and MU, and then of course Drake and their path and everything like that. But I want to just talk more broadly about the NCAA tournament. Of course, the controversy has been around North Carolina. I'm already annoyed with the conversation, though. I'll be honest, like, we did it earlier. I'm already annoyed with just, like, the national narrative, not the conversation we had. I just mean, like,
it just looks sketchy as hell,
it
dude.
Does. North Carolina, last team in the field. Their resume, they had no business getting in. And their AD was the committee chair, Bubba Cunningham. And so, and yes, he had to leave the room during the discussion, but he doesn't leave the room during the discussion about Boise State, West Virginia, and Indiana. And so
I'm sure he had great things to say about how he thought those teams deserved to be in the tournament.
So I get optics are awful, and I do think West Virginia got screwed. But then I'm sick of the convo because ultimately what we said earlier, at some point, though, you're the 68th team, let's say, to get in. You know, you didn't do enough if you're the 69th or 70th team. You just simply did not do enough. You had that one bad loss in November. Yeah, it sucks that it cost you if you're Boise State that you lost to Boston College on a buzzer beater. But that's just the way, like, at some point, we expand to 76. The 77th, 78th, 79th team are going to be bitching and moaning as well. So there's part of me that doesn't have a ton of sympathy. And then when I see the governor of West Virginia holding a press conference today announcing a investigation and lawsuit, this political theater toward the NCAA, this is where you've lost me. You've lost me on the sympathy when it reaches that point.
When you start complaining, you're like, it's not fair.
We're going to act like this. What do you think the lawsuit's going to do? What do you think they're going to pull North Carolina out of the field? Are they going to write you a check for lost revenue? Come on.
No, none of that stuff's going to happen. And I would just say every single year that we do this.
But North Carolina got in, Cody, because it's North Carolina. I do agree with that.
I know, but like nobody likes that because nobody likes the Blue Bloods unless you're Blue Blood. Outside of that, none of us are like, I sure hope Duke gets in the tournament this year, North Carolina or Kansas or any of the other ones. If they're on the fringe, you root for them to miss. So like they shouldn't be held against them, but they were not good enough to be in.
They weren't. However, I'll admit, Tuesday night, play-in game, North Carolina, San Diego State, has way more juice than San Diego State, Indiana. It just does. Sad reality of the sport, but that is the truth. There will be more people that tune in for that game.
It's one of those like
The ratings. That's actually the opposite. That's people's conspiracy is that they did this because the ratings for the first four, but people have not been watching here in the last couple of years because the interest has gone down.
Some of them have been great. The Virginia game last year against Colorado State was particularly terrible. But
the three of us are the wrong grouping for that because we're going to watch the play-in game for the most part anyway. I know
I'm
you're 50-50 more hesitant.
50-50 on
but,
it.
Like Drew and I
like
are
it when
watching.
The tournament actually starts. But, it's better. 50-50.
But looking at the way the bracket sorted out, we were just talking with C-Dot. Louisville is an 8 seed in the tournament, right, against 9 seed Creighton, which is a really good 8-9 matchup. I think they both are underseeded. But Auburn's the number one overall seed in the tournament. Number one overall. And if Auburn wins their game against the 16 seed, they will play potentially Louisville in Lexington, Kentucky. The 8 seed would have the home court advantage. That's just a mess up on the committee's part, right? How does that happen? Number one overall seed, and you're going to have a road game in Lexington? I don't know the exact driving distance between Lexington and Louisville, but I bet you it's not far.
It's got to be like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
It's essentially in their backyard.
I mean, it's crazy. I'm guessing it's like the equivalent of Topeka to Kansas City
or
something.
I'm guessing it's 2 hours. That'd be my
guess. So maybe a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more. So that was a weird one. And then
now they travel. They're really passionate about their team in Louisville.
Yeah. And like in the conversation that we're all having, I'm sure in group text with friends and everything, is trying to figure out who do we think has the easiest path to get to a Final Four. And everybody's going to start filling out their brackets. A lot of you have already submitted it in our challenge.
Hour and 15 minutes, actually.
Hour and 15.
It's a lot tighter.
Yeah. Like, number one overall seed should not be playing a road game in their second game.
No. They were the best team in college basketball. They were the number one overall seed, and they got, I think, the most difficult 1 through 4 out of any region. Like, what's the benefit? Can we, like, figure out a way where, at the very least, they get to choose? So let's say we just lay out all the 1s and 2s, all where they're going to play, yeah. Right? We lay out 2 through 16 in every bracket, and then you just choose the region you want to play in.
Isn't that normally how you it goes, though?
You want to choose?
Somewhat, but there's the members. They run into some conflicts because, for example, Auburn's in the SEC. They could not have had 9-seed Mississippi State be their 9-seed because you can't play an SEC team, a conference team in the second game. I don't think you can start doing that till the second weekend.
But let them choose, you know? Like, in my opinion, just let them choose that if you think that that's going to go down that way. Look, a lot of it is just politics. I told you my biggest issue with just college sports in general is that they do not in any way prioritize winning. In Major League Baseball, to be in the playoffs, to be a certain seed, you have to win. In the NFL, to be in the playoffs, to get a certain seed, you have to win. In college sports, it's like, I like your jersey. It's kind of fun. Or KenPom told us you were 27 and had 4 quad one wins, and they were 32 and had 3 quad. I'm like, do they win more games too?
Yeah, but it can't be just about that.
No, but wins hold less weight is my problem. Like, the metrics or the jersey you wear, those things seem to hold more weight than winning in college basketball.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's kind of offensive to me at nature. It should be winning that matters.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. But as you know, because of what is it, 300 plus college basketball teams are in D1, you can't just go off a schedule because
I get it. Because all the stuff.
Like, Drake, we all are talking, and Drake.
I got to think Texas should get in. They got in just because the SEC is good.
Right. But see, this is where this is why it's a fun debate, because the Texas was in the best conference in America this year. And so their path, obviously, versus, I'll just keep using Drake as an example. We've been talking about it a lot.
I think it's more like West Virginia's, you know, like, I understand Drake's different.
Sure.
When we start getting to the mid majors, it's harder to
That's why it can't just be about wins, because if that's the case, I'll just schedule the easiest non-conference in the country every single year, rack up 15 non-conference wins, and I'm halfway home.
But I'm just saying, like, even inside, like, we're inside Power 4 conferences, they're not even choosing wins. They're not even choosing their own metric of quad one wins sometimes. Sometimes it's still jersey or the perceived notion that, like, well, we think this is a better conference, but then the ACC gets North Carolina, although we agree their conference stinks.
They had 4 teams in there, and
I don't know, it's just vibes, and I want there to be, like, some metric of, like, winning means something. I told you, like, college football playoff does this a lot too, and I don't like it. I don't think an injury before the season should change someone. I won all my games. I should get to play in the college football playoff. I'm sorry my guy got hurt. I did my job. I played football games. I won those football games. I should get the benefit of being allowed to at least compete. I won my games. And I, like, one of the arguments I think was being made against one of the teams that was outside is like, oh, they suffered an injury right before the college basketball NCAA tournament. No, I played my games. I'm sorry my guy got hurt. That should not be factoring into whether or not I get to be in the field.
But, like, if, let's say, no, they never happened, fortunately, but let's say Cooper Flagg was announced to be out for the season. Now, Duke has a ton of All-Americans still on the roster, so maybe that's not the best still not the best example. But my point is, if it was on another team that didn't have Duke's resume, that could move you down a seed line.
It shouldn't, in my opinion.
The results of how I performed should matter
more than just your perception
There's a trickle down effect. Like, if, in this case, if the best player in the country was not available for a team, and that was not going to be available all tournament.
But I earned my spot.
Yeah. But it's not just about that team, though. It's when they build the bracket out, it's not just about what it means for Auburn. It's what it means for the next team that they might play. The same, really, because then it's giving an unfair advantage to the 8 or 9 seed. If I tell you that we're going to make, this didn't happen. I just keep using Duke but if Duke
makes sense as a hypothetical.
Whatever team gets hurt, top seed in America, if all of a sudden we all know that they're nowhere near as dangerous because their best player is gone, that means it's also creating an advantage for the 8-9 seed and a disadvantage for somebody else. It's not as simple as what I think you're trying to make it.
But that already happens, right? Like, we're already, like, agree Louisville should have been a 6 or a 7. Like, there's already advantages and disadvantages created in the system through the same process, I think, where you're just kind of, not randomly, but you're determining who's this or that in this matchup. So, like, you might get a bad too high of a four seed in your conference anyway. You should have been a three. You know, like,
yeah, like I think someone's trying to make the NFL example on the text line. I don't think you can make the NFL example because it's just the format.
I think it should operate that
way. Like, some, if Mahomes gets hurt in the playoffs, it doesn't mean the Chiefs forfeit the game.
Or they have to give up the one seed.
Nobody's set. Yeah, but like, it's not the same setup. I understand.
I'm saying it should be. I understand it's not. But I.
Yeah, but like, nobody's saying Duke would have to forfeit a game. They're just saying that all of a sudden,
if Mahomes got hurt, they're not the one seed. They have to give up the bye. They got to play wild card weekend now.
Yeah, but you don't have to win, what is it, 8 games to win a national championship or to win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's just different. It's just the whole format is different. Way less teams. It's just a complete. I don't think they're not apples to apples at all. Like, you just can't make the same comp to the playoff format in the NFL as the NCAA tournament.
But like
with
baseball,
because
it's 168 or whatever, or 162 games. It's like, I don't think, like, if the Royals were they were getting a bye because they won their division.
Yeah.
If Bobby got hurt before the playoffs, I don't think they should have to play in wild card weekend now. I'm just saying, like, I think wins should matter more in college sports. I understand that that's not functionally how they operate and probably never will operate across the board. I just wish that they valued wins more. Not, you know, like, whatever. They got their own system of place, just more than they do now.
All right, let's get to it.
I don't have it ready.
The random question of the day.
I was so enticed by your guys' conversation. I just totally lost my
mind.
I figured you were looking up Jamar Chase jerseys, since now you feel confident you can buy one.
The random question of the day brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. The text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. You know, that way we can get you over there as well. Try to interact with the chats there. You can like and subscribe over there on YouTube, so we pop to the top of your feed. Question I have for you today actually kind of relates to you, Drew. I want you an honest answer. Honest answer on the text on 913-586-7965. How often do you look at your phone while driving? Because, Drew, I'm pretty sure not only were you watching golf on,
I wasn't watching,
on your car ride on, you were tweeting about golf while driving into work today.
Stop at a stoplight and you,
it was
you,
weird
you can
because
take advantage of
we
it.
Were in the bull, we were here at work and we saw you were tweeting and we're like, and he's not here yet. So we're like, is he in the parking lot? Nope. We're like, where is he?
Okay. Let's say a 30-minute car ride. How many times do you think you look at your phone?
Ooh.
Some highway, some city, half.
Yeah.
I want to know how many times you think you look at your phone in a 30-minute car ride.
Too many times. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, at a stoplight, I'll definitely check if there's something. It depends on the day.
I'm like, zero highway.
Like, if it's, well, yeah. If it's a, for example, NFL free agency day, where, like, stuff is coming constantly. If my phone buzzes while I'm driving, the next stoplight, I'll look at my phone to see what the alert was. Some of this is just the sickness of what we do and needing to know the information and feeling like you want to be part of the conversation for what we do for a living, but not while I'm actively on the highway. No, that'd be a no-go. If I'm on a road trip in middle of nowhere driving and it's an 8-hour drive, there might be more of a glance, unfortunately. But
have you ever tweeted while driving?
Ever? Probably, yeah.
I think probably more than because I've seen you fire off, like, I get home and you fired off a tweet at 2:17.
Well,
that's
sometimes I'm here still, but yeah, I'm sure I have.
Drew, were you tweeting while driving today? Was it at a stoplight when you tweeted about the?
Yes.
I don't. Both of you said this is a concern. Both of you had said, like, if there's something you want to watch but it's not on the radio.
Yeah, you have the audio play through your car.
I don't trust that because you're going to glance.
No,
you're going to glance.
In fairness,
people are going to turn. Someone's going
to
glance.
To your point,
who went in the water? Drew glanced.
It's tempting, but when you hear the commentary,
Thursday, right? Depending, unless there's like 2 minutes left in the game, then I'll just stay here and watch. If there's NCAA games going on when we get off the air Thursday, I will plug my phone in or Bluetooth my phone on my car, and I'll have audio from YouTube TV playing through my car. Absolutely.
Oh man, no way. No, yeah. I don't do that at all.
Because I want to hear the games.
And you're telling me you're swearing that you've never glanced.
Oh, I'm not saying I've never glanced. Cody's like acting like law enforcement over here.
I said I think the temptation would be too great to glance.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think I play television through the sound.
Yeah.
I think the temptation would be too
great. The temptation would be
there. I check at stoplights, so I'm probably a couple of times in a 15-minute in city drive. I don't look in the highway at all. I'm pretty good. I put it in the little charger thing in the car.
Yeah.
And just kind of let it sit there.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've accepted you're the safest driver on the show. You have cruise control on when 35 miles an hour on a side street.
Yeah. If it's necessary.
That's still which is nuts. Wild. But yes.
Less of that now, maybe.
Someone says I have it connected to my Tesla screen. Someone says, be careful on the Missouri side. It's illegal to touch your phone at all.
I think
driving.
Right now they can only give you warnings on that, right?
Hang on. If you're stopped at a stoplight and it's a red light, you can get like pulled over?
Yes. That's
in
illegal.
Some states.
You can't, in Missouri and Kansas, I think.
You can't text. You're not supposed to text and drive, plain and simple. Yeah.
But you're not driving.
But you are. You're behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, but if I'm sitting in a parking lot and I'm behind the wheel of a car too.
I know, but like
there's ways that Drew Nixon could bend the rules a little bit, man.
But Drew, you're
not driving the car. The car is set in park.
Do you put your car in park at a stoplight?
No.
I think it has to be the same rules as if you were to, you know, was the key in the ignition kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
I think it's the same thing, right?
I think that's the standard to be. I'm definitely worse, I would say, on like a side street.
Says Cody's going to make a citizen's arrest on us here. No kidding.
I was genuinely worried about Drew when he came in. It was like 8:35. We're waiting to see when Drew comes in, and he's like, Rory's got it in the bag. I'm like, what the hell is he? I was like, I know it's not on the radio. How is Drew consuming golf on his drive in? So then I realized he's at least watching it. And I was worried he was like, putting up on a dash.
Watching, I really do think a lot more people than you believe will have, if depending on sports or otherwise, or if there's breaking news in the world and they don't, and the radio's not covering at the time. I think people will use Bluetooth and pull up their YouTube TV or whatever their home TV is.
Is that more common for you guys? 913-586-7965.
I'm not saying people are having their. I'm not saying to mount your.
Says he'll pop it on the dash.
Yeah,
don't put it in front of the gauges.
That's crazy.
Your phone and watch. That's really bad.
Don't do that.
But having the audio go through your TV, it's no different than the radio.
Yeah,
it's literally no different.
I guess it's just like. Yes. And it's like for the same reason, like you should like just put your phone in the glove box or whatever, right? We all get the temptation. You're sitting at a light and you're like, oh, I think my phone buzzed. I'm going to check it real quick, right? The idea that you were running a full television sporting event.
Someone says they use Bluetooth for Cody and Gold.
They have
the stream up and they just use Bluetooth through that. Same thing.
Do you live out of town? Well, that's different because that's just the app.
But maybe they're tempted to watch us speak.
Well, that's only if they pull up the
YouTube. Yeah, maybe they're doing
that. We have an app.
Yeah, but they like the YouTube. They like the stream. They want to see us, you know?
It's like you should.
People are so tempted to watch.
The app or the dial.
From the 913, it's not drinking and driving if you pull over to take a drink, according to Drew. That's not true.
The way you explained it initially.
It's correct. Not an open container if I throw it out the window.
Oh, boy.
Oh, true. Yeah. I mean, dude, if you're sitting at a stoplight, still texting and driving. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And look, I'm not saying most people at some point.
There's a reason why it's.
I have tried to curb mine and have significantly probably over the years.
Yeah, it's a bad habit. It's a very bad habit.
But like that's where like the TV part of it seemed like wild to me. I was like, and I was just worried you were watching actual TV.
No,
he
was listening to the broadcast.
No. But I guess I've never done that. So that didn't,
I can almost guarantee you Thursday I will have the audio of YouTube TV for True TV or whatever station a game is on as I'm driving home.
So will I.
Put it back on when I get home.
Yeah, some of us are obsessed with sports, you know?
I know I work for a sports radio station. It's just not, it's
someone
like a
says they watch
I'll listen to Carrington, he can tell me this.
Someone says they watch Severance during long road trips.
If I'm in the passenger seat, I'll watch something, but like not.
By the way, watch the latest episode of Severance. Didn't like this one as much.
So you, Will over on Twitch said, I knew someone who watched Netflix while driving.
That's crazy.
I'm just saying, it's a fine line. You guys are one step away from just watching Netflix while you drive. You guys are already putting on a TV broadcast.
It's the audio of it. I cannot get audio.
But that's what I'm saying. You're one step away.
Well, sure. I mean, that's what radio versus television is.
If Rafferty says,
in the radio, they're one step away from watching television when they listen to anything on the radio.
Two steps, right? Because I'm already not doing the TV audio. You see, like, if Rafferty says, onions, and then goes like,
I will say
on the highway. You sure you don't tip the little phone over for the replay?
If you hear onions, that's all I'm saying.
Right. I feel like the temptation would be too good. Yeah. He says onions, and then that phone.
Someone says they listen to UFC 313 on Bluetooth on the way to B-dubs.
Interesting. Mm. Oh, because they don't want to like miss the action.
Someone says if I can't watch you guys, I don't want to listen.
If I can't catch it at any time. All right, that's it. That's the random question of the day.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, that's,
Should we give Drew a chance to defend after I had made the comments about, will you make a deal with me, Drew? That
we're talking about Chase
blame
and Higgins.
The defense for if they don't make the playoffs?
We'll find out after the break.
Oh, man, really?
We have four minutes.
Okay, yeah. What's
and I
the
won't
deal?
Interrupt.
Well, what's the...
The deal is...
I need to reminded of it.
If they make the playoffs, I will agree with you that this is not the worst plan for them. To get into the postseason and have some set. That's lighter than I'm normally willing to go. But you cannot blame the defense if Cincinnati is not winning. They have built their team under the condition that is they care less about defense than keeping their stars on offense. So Joe Burrow doesn't get the, but he can't also play defense excuse. This is how they've chosen to build the team.
I understand, but what if the defense is the problem?
They chose this. This is their fate.
Okay.
They, you know what I'm saying? Like, they chose to pay Higgins and Jamar Chase and not be better defensively.
I mean, but if they bring back Trey Hendrickson and they draft two defensive line, like, they're directly going after doing it. It's just...
Yeah, but they've chosen the less aggressive path.
So if Patrick Mahomes' stats go down again, but he gets sacked 50 times, you can't blame the offensive line. Then you have to blame Patrick Mahomes.
Trying to fix the offensive line right now. Cincinnati's not doing anything to fix. They're not spending any money to fix the defense. Chiefs are spending money to fix the offensive line.
As of March 17th, but if they sign a defensive lineman and a linebacker and they pay Trey Hendrickson, then they're addressing the issue. So I think this is a... We'll see how things set up in August, and then I'll tell you.
Sounds like a no deal.
As soon as we...
He doesn't want the deal.
As soon as we get past the draft, we know how the rosters are going to be. If the Bengals have paid and drafted guys, I see no reason to... Why they wouldn't... Why would... If Joe Burrow has another career year, and he's doing everything he can, and the Bengals lead the league in points per game...
But they lose. It's a bad plan. I know, do you understand? It's a bad system of building a team if they lose.
But it's not Joe Burrow's fault then.
But it is, because he told them to pay Higgins and Chase. He's a part of this decision-making, in my opinion. He went outwardly and did like 45 interviews and said, pay them both. He's part of the team-building part of this.
I understand, but in the end, he's not the one who's paying the money.
I know, but he's saying they can outscore people. Like, he's made the decision.
I think so.
Yeah, but if he doesn't, then it's a bad plan, right? So if they lose, it's not a bad plan?
No, I'm not saying it's not a bad plan. The plan, there's two ways that it could have gone, and either way, they're still dedicated to the exact same plan, in my opinion. One of them is just including drafting a wide receiver and paying other people. Like, it always comes back to the same issue, where let's say they traded T. Higgins and they got picks. If the defense sucked again, but Joe Burrow was great, would you blame Joe Burrow again?
No, because they would have at least made a concerted effort, I guess, if they use those picks to help defense, right?
Yeah, but if the defense still stunk, then you wouldn't blame Joe Burrow still.
But again, that's
why should it matter?
Because they're different scenarios. In one scenario, they trade T. Higgins, and the other one, they don't. I think that that's a big change in the argument.
But so if they don't have T. Higgins and they score 30 points a game and they draft defense and they sign defensive guys, but they still stink on defense and they still miss the playoffs, that would be different than if they scored.
It's even less Joe Burrow's fault, because he has less to work with on offense and still scored.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if the Bengals scored 38 a game or 35 a game and they still missed the playoffs and the defense stunk, then it's Joe Burrow's fault, even though the result is the exact same.
Now you're changing. I guess he changes. He scores more points a game in the other scenario. Well, I don't think he's scoring 38 points a game.
Well, you would think theoretically with T. Higgins that makes up for no T. Higgins.
You know what? I agree with Drew. I think you're being ridiculous. The Bengals are going to be just fine. They're going to win the Super Bowl next season.
Defense is going to be great.
Their defense is going to just completely flip. It was all Lou Anarumo's fault. He was a genius 3 years ago. Now he's the scapegoat. He sucked. Everything is good to go. Everything is good to go.
I'm ready for them to.
And those receipts have been expired for a long time.
No. You can't even get store credit anymore.
I'm saying your receipts, and I'm saying the text lines receipts of the Bengals suck. They're never going to win anything. I'm waiting until they make the playoffs again,
But if they win 10 years from now, you don't get a cash in the receipt, dude. Like,
if it's a Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and Higgins, I do.
I also don't think the tweets and everything have been about just going to a wild card game. I think it's been, you've always been, like last year, your exact example was they're going to make the playoffs and they're going to play the Chiefs divisional round weekend. Like, it's got to be something much deeper.
I was nearly there too.
They didn't make the playoffs. They're nearly there. Hold on. They didn't make the playoffs. What do you mean they're nearly there?
Let alone get to the divisional round.
They didn't even make it to the playoffs. They were nearly there to winning a playoff game or two.
Yes, because if they would have played, if they'd have played the Buffalo, I told you already. I told you already. If they made it, that was the one team that nobody wanted to see because they were hot.
That's my favorite thing we as sports fans do. Like, well, my team, they didn't make the playoffs, but boy, if they did, it's like West Virginia right now, who didn't make the tournament. Like, man, we would have won the national championship, but you never got to see us. It's not much different.
Exactly the same.
I don't know if it's much different. All right, guys, up next, we're going to get to what's trending, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the path for KU and the Missouri Tigers next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We've been talking tourney all day long. That's number one on what's trending. Field of 68, of course, is set. KU and MU, both in the West region. Kansas, a 7 seed, taking on 10 seed Arkansas. 6-10 tip-off out in Providence, Rhode Island. And then you have the Missouri Tigers, 6 seed, taking on 11 seed Drake. That one will be at 6:35 from Wichita. Earlier, someone said, wait, they're in the West, but they're playing in Rhode Island. Totally get the confusion. The West regional finals will all be out in San Francisco. But when you're in a region, you can still be in a nearby pod or a faraway pod. I know. I understand.
Faraway is exactly what I'm surprised they aren't in, like, Europe.
Yeah, that's
Rhode Island to San Francisco is a bit of a fly.
About as far east as you can go for the field this year.
Good news, if they get to San Francisco, they got a whole ass week to travel over there. So
that's right.
Or 5 days or whatever it would be. So they don't have to worry about at least that. And I told you, man, I think you should skip opening day. If KU and MU are in the Sweet 16 together, fly out to San Francisco.
That flight would be outrageous.
You could share a hotel room with Carrington.
Could you imagine?
You guys could get tickets next to each other, wearing opposing gear, sitting next to each other in the stands. Oh, it'd be great.
The flights are going to be, look, I don't think both teams are making it Sweet 16. I don't think, but if that happened, my guess is last minute flight from here to San Francisco or Oakland would at least be $600 minimum, not more.
Next up on What's Trending, as we were talking about in the previous segment, both Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver got paid. Last night, starting at 10 o'clock, Ja'Marr Chase, 4 years, $161 million, over $40 million a year, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in league history. And T. Higgins gets 4 for $115, the first 2 years of which are guaranteed by Cincinnati, making him the highest paid number two wide receiver in the league. It also makes him, I think, the highest paid or fourth highest paid average annual wide receiver in the NFL. He's getting in that Justin Jefferson money. This is how contracts work sometimes. All of a sudden, he looks like a steal.
Yeah, I don't have much more to say about this because we just spent some time on that in case you just tuned in. We already know where we stand. We got Drew fired up. We knew that was going to happen today, talking about this.
It's going to be an interesting Cincinnati Bengals season. They're one of the most interesting teams in the league this year.
No doubt. Next on What's Trending, Derek Stingley also got paid 3 years, $90 million. Talented young corner for the Houston Texans. $89 million guaranteed, although there's some misleading numbers. It sounds like, much like we discussed earlier, this was reported.
An agent-led reporting?
Yeah, the numbers may not be as... That might be a little robust. Misleading. It might also include what he already was going to get on the fifth-year option if they would have done it or something like that. Either way, $30 million per year potentially for Derek Stingley.
Next up on What's Trending, the Players' Championship finished this morning. Obviously not a major championship, but the fifth major, as most of the players on the tour call it. Rory won in a three-hole playoff. For those who don't follow the Players often, they do a three-hole playoff the next day, aggregate scoring, shot put the ball in the water on hole one or two, and it's over right after that. He will likely be the Masters favorite in about 3 weeks from now, after Rory's had a really good year and obviously just won the Players.
That.
Stole that kid's cell phone. Then won the Players, you know? What a week.
True.
Didn't bother him at all.
Yeah, it obviously had zero impact on him at all. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Yeah, the Masters odds have been out for a while. Scottie Scheffler is still the favorite, but Rory 6-1.
That might help him.
Yeah, Rory 6-1 to win the Masters. Second best odds.
Okay.
To win. But by the time we get to post-final four.
I thought that Players thing these next couple of days with the betting might
definitely
have
could.
Rory's number move there if they're close enough. That's all.
It definitely could swing it a little bit. Someone on the text line was responding or on Twitter responding to the random question of the day. They said, you guys drink every Friday for fan club.
I don't drink
but are shaming,
I have a drink.
But are shaming people for looking at their phones while driving. Mm. One, first of all, one act is illegal, one is not. Drinking on a Friday is not illegal. Last time I checked.
Wait, that would be a really terrible thing to become illegal, I think.
So, yeah, and I don't know about shaming. Cody was definitely cracking down a little bit more.
I think we all should tighten up a little bit. Yeah, but let's tighten it up.
Yeah, you are definitely investigating.
Having a beer on a Friday afternoon is not illegal at all.
In fairness, if we're going to... I don't know if this is moving the goalposts necessarily, but really stretch things. We do technically drink, and then within the next hour, we do drive.
Look, I'm not trying to minimize the effects of drinking and driving and what it happens in this country. Do we have a beer and then drive? That is not in any way illegal or unsafe.
Yeah.
This isn't.
Now, if you were firing back six of those fireball shots, then we would have a problem, Drew. We'd have a serious problem.
You should not be leaving. You should be getting a ride or an Uber. Like, we went to Kelly's last Friday. I took an Uber. Took an Uber home.
Yeah.
You know? Be safe. Drink responsibly. Drive safely. That's all I'm asking for in this case.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't have anything else. Sorry.
Nothing else to add?
No, I don't want to get too, you know, how it is.
Too deep down to this topic in particular.
No, I don't think so. Not on a Monday. It's NCAA tournament time. Got baseball around the corner like a week and a half in a way. I don't know. Trey McDuffie might make $40 million a year. There's lots to talk about that isn't this, I guess, is the point.
Back to the tournament for a little bit. So I think for Missouri and for Kansas, could have been way worse of a path.
Yeah.
If we were looking at potential 11 seeds or 10 seeds, you go through and see some of the other 10 seeds that could have been dangerous. Arkansas for Kansas is dangerous because you got an experienced head coach that will have his team ready to roll. Itself, first Cal, and Arkansas, much like Kansas, has shown potential. They've also looked terrible. They're actually very similar in that regard. Now, Kansas was never in danger of not making the tournament. 3 weeks ago, Arkansas was not scheduled to make the tournament. Like, they were on the bubble.
They went a little bit in order to
They're a 10 seed for a reason. Like, they were one seed away from being in the play-in game in Dayton. So the path, as bad as things have been for Kansas this year, they still had a better year than Arkansas did. But now it's March. Nothing that happened before matters. And I guess that's the mindset if you're Kansas or Arkansas you take into this game. KU is a 5.5-point favorite. The one thing I think is you're not worrying about a 3-point shooting barrage from Arkansas the way you might have been from Samford last year. But can Kansas create any turnovers? Can they get rebounds? Can they guard? And can they have the effort level that we've seen over the last 2.5 weeks from them? If they can do that, I actually think they're going to win this game. I know it's so easy. We you know, narratives are set in stone for a lot of people. You know, the narrative in the last 24 hours, Missouri's going to lose to Drake and Kansas is going to lose to Arkansas. And Drake's a scary team. Oh, my gosh. Most dangerous team ever. And like, that's just the national narrative that's out there right now.
You always hype up the team that goes outside of it. It's more right now with Drake probably than Arkansas.
I think Missouri and Kansas are both winning on Thursday if we're doing a quick already pick for the games.
I think here's the thing that would scare me the most. And I like Missouri against Drake too, because a lot of what we hear is Drake dictates the action, right? Drake is slow tempo, dragged us out. Dude, I don't know if you guys have watched Missouri this year. They make everyone play fast, sometimes to their own pain, right? Like, people will play fast with Missouri, and because Missouri can't play much defense there the last month of the season, they'll score a bunch of points on Missouri. But Missouri controls the pace of a game a lot of times. And even in the SEC, which was the best basketball conference in the country this year. And so, like, I think Missouri is more likely to force Drake to play at their speed than the other way around, which largely benefits Missouri because Drake wants to play so slow, so very slow, and are going to have a difficult time doing it. The thing that I would dislike the most if I were Kansas about my matchup with Arkansas is, one, Calipari's a really good coach, but there's one thing Calipari has done better, I think, because he's been put in this position more consistently, I'll say. Calipari has a couple of times in the NCAA tournament taken some not-looking-so-good team to like a couple of wins in the NCAA tournament when I didn't think they had business doing it, right? A couple of times he'll take some just like random 7 squad. And look, that's because Bill Self is never a 7 seed, right?
There's something to be said that he's never been in that position.
I understand. And there is something, but like, Calipari's used to it, right? He's used to being this like double digit seed who has to like go through a couple of games. And he's done that a couple of times in the NCAA tournament. Something about like having the experience navigating that feels beneficial.
Yeah,
it's all just hypothetical, right? I mean, I can't prove that it's going to make a difference in this game. But
Cal is part of the narrative and why this matchup is fun. I would also say, like, Kentucky, as one of the top teams last year with Cal coaching, lost to Oakland. You know, so what is that? How does that weigh in the conversation?
And look, maybe then if Bill Self for the first time is a 7 seed, right? He's never been worse than a 4.
4, yeah.
In Kansas history. So if he takes a 7 seed to the Sweet 16, I'd be like, kudos. This team had no business even getting that far. Every year, some 9 seed, 8 seed, 11, 12, 7, whatever, they find their way into the Sweet 16, Elite 8. Happens pretty much every year in the NCAA tournament. Kansas has the pedigree. You would think it's possible. They do still have an elite-level scorer in Hunter Dickinson, even if he doesn't even play average defense, right? And if Zeke Mayo plays anywhere close to the level they got at the Big 12 tournament, I think both teams are favored appropriately, I guess is what I would say about the general matchup. Both of these, I expect both Missouri and Kansas to win on Thursday. Doesn't mean they will, but I expect both of them and think both should. We'll come in here on Friday and be like, it's disappointing you lost to that team, even if it is a disappointing end of the year for Missouri in the regular season,
yeah,
or a disappointing year for Missouri, who was the number. That's the one thing to keep in mind with Missouri. It doesn't matter now, but they have enough talent still in their roster that people thought they were the number one ranked team in the country going into the year. So I think they got enough to beat Arkansas.
Kansas.
Do you think they got enough to beat Arkansas? Yeah. Yeah, they should, right?
Yeah, it depends on what, you know, I think
depends Bill, on how
I
that
think,
talent plays.
I think as Bill Self said last week to the Big 12 tournament loss, you know, basically like, you know, we've beat some good. We have to play great to beat good teams. When we play great, we can beat them. When we play bad, we're never going to beat them. Kind of thing. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. Same thing. I really think Arkansas is probably saying the same thing, that we're getting some guys back healthy is probably what Arkansas is also thinking, and they can figure it out. But it'll be, I think, a fairly tight game between Kansas and Arkansas. And for Missouri, hey, the fact that nobody is talking about you and they're all talking about Drake, I think you use to your advantage if you're Dennis Gates. Everybody loves the Drake story because it is a great story. We talked about that a ton last week. But no, I won't say nobody's giving you a chance to win because you're still 6.5-point favorites. But a lot of people, that is their sexy pick,
yeah, I think so,
for an upset, is the 11-seed Drake Bulldogs to upset the Missouri Tigers. And whenever it gets that loud, I sometimes like to go in the opposite direction. A reminder, if you want to join our bracket challenge, you can. Just search Cody and Gold on CBS's bracket challenge, or Drew will send you a link if you text in at 913-586-7965.
You know, the fun part about, like, if Kansas gets past Arkansas is St. John's is literally the embodiment of, are you sure you made the right decisions in the way you built this year's team? They've got the guy who Bill Self told to leave so that they could bring in Hunter Dickinson. So, like, on St. John's exists a Kansas transfer who is the transfer that directly correlated off of the Hunter Dickinson move. And so you're like, oh. Well, that makes it interesting, at least on this end. It'll be fun. College basketball obviously starts, what, tomorrow for the play-in games, Gold?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
So tomorrow night for the play-in games, we'll get a chance to take a look at it. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a good time. Yeah, I did want to bring up one thing that I saw a couple of people messaging and be like, hey, I can't believe it. And I wanted to warn you, and we talked to Vern about this, Jack Caglione got sent down to minor league camp today. Not the most world's breaking news, but Gold and I are going to talk some, and we know that this probably will fall in hell of ears. This is, to be very clear, the correct decision by the Royals organization. Do I want to watch Jack Caglione hit 550-foot home runs? I do. That sounds awesome, and I'm very interested. He has played 60 combined games between A-ball and the Arizona Fall League, which is essentially just fall A-ball, right? It's not, you know, 60 total games. Never been in AA, never been in AAA, never seen consistently big league pitching. He's done great in spring training. This is just what you do. This is what they do with players. He can fast track to the majors still pretty quick. Do you realize how fast it is for even a college player that if inside a year of when he was drafted, if he makes the majors by July or August, that'd be a borderline miracle for most college players. Inside a year, getting to the big leagues would still be the fastest of fast tracks by most major league standards. We can wait. I'll wait. I like the roster. It's good. I'll see if Renfro's got some good.
This was always
really well over the weekend. You know, I'll just see.
This was always the case, barring catastrophic injuries to two of your most important players on the team.
Yeah.
Jack Caglione was always going to be in spring training, and at some point, they would send him down to minor league camp. For his sake, it's good. It's happening with 10 or 11 days to go. That's awesome. Right? And he did everything you could have asked him to do during spring training.
He could not have been any better. He was great. 550 with a 1800 OPS.
He certainly only upped the hype around him, the excitement with some of the home runs he hit. And we had him on the show, and people are starting to learn more and more about him. That will continue. And yeah, Vern is correct. If Hunter Renfro struggles early in the season and Jack Caglione in AA is hitting well, it's only going to grow louder. But reminder, right this second, there is nowhere for him to play in the big leagues. He also still has not even played 50 combined games, I think it is at this point, in the minor/fall league. So needs to learn right field, needs to improve in some areas. Like I get some of you will say, well, he should just learn against big league pitching. This is a Royals team that's vying for an AL Central title this year. This is not, you know, it's not August where the team's 30 games out.
If this is the 2004 Royals, he's hitting .400.
Right.
It's good that they don't have to rush him up.
He, I think, will still make his way up here, but I think we're going to have to wait till August at least for that to happen. And it'll be awesome when that does. We're hoping maybe that we're talking about doing a road trip to Springfield or Fayetteville to see Jack Caglione like we did for Bobby Wood Jr. And yeah, I mean, the hype should still be there. It shouldn't be less. It's just keep it in mind. Like, he has to start learning right field first and keep hitting. Then we can start having the real convo about, hey, they should move on from X player, or this injury is going to open up this spot or whatever. He's still got a long road to go. He's on an unbelievable path and track right now. It's going to happen eventually. But like on May 1st, if Renfroe is struggling and Jack has three home runs in the minors and still hasn't played a single day in right field, you can't be calling for him to come up. He's got to get some outfield experience.
Take some time with it. The final 3 minutes of the show, the Cody and Gold 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss Results every week, and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. No, I'm with you. I mean, you just, like, sometimes it stinks because being patient's the worst. I'm an impatient person at times. I do get it, but, like, this is just one of those. We're going to have to sit on it. Hey, the texter who texted in last week who said that he didn't think Trent McDuffie was going to get $27 million a year said he did.
Okay.
But he also said that if they do give him that amount of money, it'll be equivalent to the Juwan Taylor deals. And he thinks it's a really, really, really bad idea. If you missed it, Derek Stingley got $30 million a year.
But those are two different convos. If we're going to say that they shouldn't make, that's a fair convo. If you think they shouldn't pay Trent McDuffie.
I told you, I'd entertain a trade.
The text last week and from the gentleman that's texting in now, arguing with you, is his point is that he's not getting 27, and we're saying that's just not going to, whether it's with Kansas City or somewhere else, he will get more than $27 million a year. Now, if you want to argue he's not worth it, we do that with player contracts all the time.
Oh, sure.
Fair debate. We can go back and forth. But if you're saying that we're ridiculous for suggesting McDuffie's going to get $27 million, I just think that factually will be inaccurate and already is proven to be inaccurate based off of what the market is at that position. We know how this game is played. Also, even if you don't think he's the best corner in football or one of the best, if you just like Trey Smith, I don't think Trey Smith's the best right guard in the NFL, but he's the best young guard that was due for a contract. So he got that money. Just like, you know, we always use the example, just like Derek Carr was once for 3 months the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Should he have gotten it? No.
No.
Did he?
Yeah. He absolutely did.
Trent McDuffie will get paid $30 million or more
by somebody
a year, whether it be by the Chiefs or somebody, but he's going to get paid it.
So he says, I confirm I will stand on that. He's not getting $27 million a year. Okay.
I mean,
that's fine. I think you're already being proven wrong by the current deals that are happening.
Yeah.
Unless McDuffie is going to blow out his knee this year or something.
Really drag this thing out by in that case. And then it's like even easier to assume because then inflation will just keep hitting that number.
That's going to do it for us here on a Monday edition of Cody and Gold. Tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit more about the tournament, obviously. I teased it, but I want to talk about the NIT. I think that tournament is basically dead based on a new tournament that's starting up. And we'll also talk more about some of the contract stuff that's out there with Patrick Mahomes. CDOT's coming up next on The Drive.